Today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take your calls. However, your comments are appreciated and may be posted at our First Principles New Hampshire Facebook page. Thank you for joining. We hold these truths. Welcome to We Hold These Truths, where we look at family, economic, and current news on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM. This is Karen Testerman, your host. Just this past week, the Line in the Granite rally was held at the State House in Concord. There were well over 700 to 800 in attendance at the rally that gained national attention. Thank you to those citizens for showing your support for our Second Amendment rights. Certainly, we must understand that the right to bear arms was to defend the citizens against a tyrannical government.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful to Congressman Giffords. She went through an awful lot. It's wonderful to see her. She looks great. But I'm sorry. It is a tear-jerking incident when she's standing up there saying that you have to do something about the guns. It's not the guns, folks. It's a lot of other things. And she very passionately talks about the fact that we have to save the children. And yet every day we murder about 4,000 babies in the womb in America. And here in New Hampshire, up in Manchester, for example, at their Planned Parenthood facility, they take approximately 25 human lives every Thursday. So we're talking about 20 children in Newtown that, yes, they are valuable, and no, they should not have been sacrificed in this manner. But yet, we, on the other hand, constantly look at the carnage, and we say it's a blob of tissue. It's nothing. It's not even a human life. And I have a real problem with that. It's really not about the guns. It's about our hearts and our souls and where are we going in this nation. To sort of shift gears, but not really, I'd like to introduce our guest, Brad Brandon. Brad is a pastor out of St. Paul, Minnesota, and he is a self-identified libertarian conservative. Now, that's pretty interesting. He's a blogger, a radio host, and senior pastor of a church. He's known for his courage to discuss the radioactive topic of homosexuality and same-sex marriage, allowing others to lay out the deadly consequences that follow when society pretends abnormal is normal and wrong is right. He's a loyal patriot and follower of Jesus Christ, and Brad has devoted his life to standing for the truth in a world where the truth is not always a popular thing. And just recently, he epitomized the saying of Plato, in which it says, "Strange times are these in which we live, when old and young are taught falsehoods in school, and the person that dares to tell the truth is called at once a lunatic and a fool." I'd like to introduce Brad. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing great, and it's good to be on with you this morning.
Well, thank you so much. And yeah, tell us a little bit about what happened. You've sort of taken some arrows lately.
Yeah, I have. We're working on the campaign for marriage here in the state of Minnesota, and I was on the campaign. The campaign is officially recognized as Minnesota for Marriage, and that was the campaign that was designed to pass the marriage amendment, the state marriage amendment, I should mention, here in the state of Minnesota, that would define marriage as between one man and one woman. And essentially, just to clear up any confusion that may be out there, we already have that in state statute as a state law here in Minnesota. This simply would put the definition of marriage into the Constitution. So it wasn't changing it, and it certainly wasn't banning gay marriage. There was a lot of confusion on that. And so, as I was campaigning around the state, my issue, Karen, and I know we've talked about this before, has been a religious liberty, and how religious liberty is under an attack like never before. And I believe that when you have no religious liberty, you have no liberty at all. I think that is the beginning of every tyrannical government and every dictator taking away liberty from people. They always start with religious liberty. So I'm very sensitive to that issue. And so I was going around the state campaigning for religious liberty, and talking about how this whole idea of same-sex marriage really is less about same-sex marriage, and it's more about taking away the religious liberties of Christians. And we can get into that, if you want to discuss that in a little bit too. But as I was campaigning around the state for 3 months, the opposition campaign followed me and just tried to get all kinds of dirt and everything that they could on me, and they couldn't get anything. So I guess when they couldn't get anything, they had to begin to make stuff up. And so I was speaking to a group of Christians at a college here in a college here in Minnesota. And so it was a group of campus Christians, basically, is what it was. And I was talking about the issue of religious liberty. Brought up the issue of, like I did in all my presentations, the example of World War II. And it really was less about Hitler and less about other things. And basically what I said was, Christians did nothing during World War II. Apart from Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Niemöller, really, Christians remained silent during that time. And I believe it's the responsibility of Christians to stand up in times like that. And when we don't stand up, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. I think that's what they experienced in World War II. So I was using that as an example, simply to say to Christians that, look at what happens when Christians remain silent. The liberties of everybody gets taken away. And the opposition campaign took that as me saying that they were using Hitler-like tactics and comparing the homosexuals to Hitler and the like, and so it was a misunderstanding. I think it was picked up by pretty much every major media outlet here in Minnesota, and I know it's been picked up by some pretty major media outlets nationally as well. But it just shows me that the media really is less concerned about the truth than they are about putting their spin on their agenda, and maybe that's just driven by a drive to get ratings. Could be, but I think there's something deeper than that.
I tend to agree with you, Brad. And the interesting thing is just like it happened with I'm going to forget his name, the senator, the man who was running for Senate in Missouri, Todd Akin, when he.
Yes.
He was describing a very real thing that happens to a woman many times under stress, and he maybe he chose his words slightly off or whatever, but instead of people who should be supporting him coming out and supporting him, they certainly turned on him, and it appears that maybe the same scenario has happened to you. And
yeah.
And I think it's very interesting, because if you look at in history, and we're really big on history repeating itself on this show, that it does. If we go back and we look at history many, many times, it's the people who know you the best, who do not, who are holding you up perhaps on a pedestal that should not be. And so therefore, when instead of coming to your rescue and saying, this person is really a good person, they did not intend it in that way, they tend to distance themselves and run away, and they don't want to be associated with you all of a sudden. And it's the neighbors and the family that turns on you that really hurts the most.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because, you know, even with the firestorm, the media firestorm that happened here, this was probably, I don't know, 3-4 months ago now, maybe more than that. I'm losing track of time. But you're essentially blacklisted. I mean, once somebody Googles your name and Adolf Hitler is the first 20 hits that come up, you get blacklisted. And for our church, we had an internet company, a web development company, that was working on our website, and they were well into the project, probably 6 months or so, trying to develop a new website for our church. And we got a phone call from them one day and basically said, hey, because of your involvement in the marriage amendment, we are not going to be able to help you any further on your website. So you're blacklisted, and it affects you in all these other ways that you really don't notice until it's directly touching you, directly affecting you. So,
well,
you're right.
Yes, and as one of our experts here in New Hampshire, Diane Gilbert, points out, you know, we're very upset about the fact that the government appears to be making a very distinct and progressive move to removing our Second Amendment rights. Yeah. She points out that we've been losing some of our constitutional Bill of Rights all along, and that we've been basically silent as a community of we the people. We keep turning to the government and saying the government has all the answers, and we keep looking to the elected officials and whoever it is that's out there to represent us to carry all of the weight, when the real responsibility is with we the people. And we've been silenced in our own way. I mean, just intimidated in many cases from speaking out.
Yeah, and think about that very issue. I mean, if you talk to anybody from any walk of life, liberal, conservative, Christian, secular, whatever, they're going to have two complaints about the government. We're taxed too high, and the inefficiency of government. I mean, everybody can pretty much agree on that. But yet we keep voting in the same people over and over and over, and they keep handing us the same issues and problems over and over again. And at some point, you're absolutely right. The people have to say, okay, we need to make some major changes. And, you know, our founding fathers talked about that time when the people would cease to be able to control the government. And they talked about the resolutions and how that should be handled very specifically.
Well, exactly. And George Washington, even in his inaugural address, turned around and said that, and this, oddly enough, was on April 30th of 1789, and it wasn't in Washington, D.C., like many people think it was. It was actually in New York City, and he said that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. And it's saying that, you know, we really might need to have that relationship with God, and if we turn our heads against it, we're going to lose those blessings that has made us a great nation. Well, Brad, we're up against the clock right now. Will you stay over?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be glad to.
This is Karen Testman on We Hold These Truths. We'll be back after a short break on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM.
The newspaper shout. A new style.